Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want it all. Hey, yeah. I want it all.
Good morning, 709 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Alabama is in there, like, filing bills, kind of like we are in our filing bills portion of the legislative session. And there's a very interesting one that's been filed. I wouldn't bring it to you unless it were, because usually I just kind of ignore Alabama. there's the Secretary of State, Wes Allen, and a Republican state senator. They want to change the state constitution. They want to run an amendment that changes the state constitution that would require any elected officials in the state, governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, legislators, judges, sheriffs, and others, as any constitutional officer. That would be county commissioners. That would be, as far as I read it, be everybody who is elected within the state under the Constitution, would require them to be a natural-born citizen instead of just a citizen. Meaning that somebody who immigrates to the United States goes through the process of naturalization, swears an oath, passes the test, learns their, you know, their history and their principles and their constitution in a way that no American born here ever has to do, except for school, but you don't have to do it to vote. And that would not qualify. You would not be able to be a state legislator. You wouldn't be able to be the governor. You wouldn't be able to be anything. Now, they can't affect, like, Congress. Those are separate issues. The state cannot decide who's eligible to be a congressman, but they can do this. So here's what they write. Wes Allen, who's the Secretary of State. What do you think, by the way? 437-1620. We are just mirroring what the U.S. Constitution requires of our president and vice president. We want to make sure that no potential foreign influence or foreign meddling, those meddling furners, could impact our state's highest elected leaders. Now, as somebody who taught logic for a while, you know, as somebody who thinks logically, some of the time anyway, you know, let's say 50-50. I am always fascinated by people who make terrible arguments. People who don't know enough to know the argument is terrible, well, that's one thing. You know, that's ignorance. But, I mean, people who deliberately make a stupid argument, that's always fascinating to me. Because the Secretary of State, Wes Allen, certainly knows enough about the U.S. Constitution, and he shows it by his choice of words here, to know that it's true. You have to be a natural-born citizen to be eligible for president, but you don't have to be a natural-born citizen to be a senator. You don't have to be a natural-born citizen to be a judge. You don't have to be a natural-born citizen to be a member of the House of Representatives. So he super selectively says, oh, all we're doing is just matching up our Constitution with what the U.S. Constitution says about president and vice president. Well, if your principle is parallelism with the federal Constitution, then all you could really do would be to say, we want the governor and the lieutenant governor to be natural-born citizens. That would at least be parallel to the structure of the U.S. Constitution. But requiring the county commissioners, requiring your states and representatives, that's literally the opposite of what the federal constitution requires, because it doesn't require that. So it's, like I said, I find it fascinating when somebody makes a really stupid argument that they clearly know is stupid, but they try to make it in a way that they're hoping you're too stupid to know what they're saying is stupid. Now, that doesn't mean the proposal itself is dumb. That just means that this reason for it is terrible. Because if the principle is follow the U.S. Constitution and state constitution, what you would say is, at best, governor and lieutenant governor. Currently, under Alabama Constitution, governor and lieutenant governor have to be citizens 10 years. There's a 7-year requirement for attorney general, secretary of state, auditor, treasurer. They have an auditor. Oh, that's interesting. Didn't know that. Treasurer and commissioner of agriculture and industries. Members of the legislature have to be citizens 3 years. It doesn't specify any citizenship requirement for any of the other elected offices, yeah, sheriff, county commissioner, you know, whatever. Senator Don Chiefston of Geneva says he told the Secretary of State that he wanted to sponsor the bill when Allen had approached him with the idea. Most people believe it's already a requirement, and so we, what? Come on, stop it. You're telling me that most people in Alabama are so dumb they think you have to be born in the United States in order to run for office? Okay. Fascinating. They came up with the idea because of what they say is a trend of people born outside the U.S. running for high political office. Zoran Mandami is a good example. Uganda-born. Okay. Now he's likely to be elected. It's amazing. Mayor of New York. Rura Rahman. Just makes me hungry for noodles. A Democratic candidate for governor in Georgia. How do you say it? R-U-W-A-R-O-M-M-A-N. Rua Rahman. Anyway, she's really got a good noodle on her head. Was born in Jordan and is the granddaughter of Palestinian refugees. You know, the flip side is interesting because the other side, there was an opinion piece written in Alabama.com, AL.com, who basically said that this is absolutely un-American. This is absolutely contrary to everything that America stands for. The 14th Amendment is clear. Anyone born or naturalized in the United States is a citizen of both this nation and their state. No second-class status. Once you're an American, you have equal rights and responsibilities, full stop. Yeah, but you can't run for president. So she's making a stupid argument. It's just like we all lost our minds. The AG is making a terrible argument, and this opponent of the AG is making a terrible argument. Sponsors, she says, claim this is about protecting Alabama from foreign influence. That argument is false and frankly insulting. The real threat to our democracy comes from lawmakers willing to take rights away from fellow citizens for political gain. I personally, 437-1620, tell me what you think of the proposal. I kind of like the current system where they have the more important the office is, the longer you have to have lived here. I've long questioned the requirement of natural born citizenship. It's a weird requirement. I get why we have it, of course. It's a strange one. It really is. Because it's always struck me as odd that somebody like, you know, and we have all these arguments about who is or who isn't, right? It's led to these conspiracy theories about like Obama or whatever. But it's always struck me as odd that you could have like a Schwarzenegger who was super popular enough as a Republican to be the governor of California, right? But just cannot be president. It always struck me as odd. It seems very artificial these days. But I'd want them to have lived here a while. And there is that requirement too. Anyway, so I like the graded idea. If you want to elect your county commissioner who just became a citizen, okay, let the people decide, you know? Because that's all. It's sort of like reverse term limits, these requirements. It's like putting an extra layer of you're too stupid to know who you want to vote for because you can't figure out that they weren't born here and that might maybe put them at risk of being under foreign influence. Like, what do you really think? It's the Manchurian candidate? You know, these people were kidnapped and brainwashed. It's odd to me. It's odd. But you tell me what you think. 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Got a new accident that just happened at Softley Field Road and Mobile Highway. It's off to the side of the road, but I wanted you to be aware of it. Also, the traffic at the front gate of NAS is backed up all the way to Sunset again. Be aware of that. And also, Avalon Boulevard southbound is starting to back up due to congestion. And Highway 29 southbound, just south of 10 Mile, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars. But let's say, you know, you're looking around on Facebook or wherever and you find a car from somebody else, you know, Jimmy with the corner lot. And that's fine. Okay. And you go there and Jimmy tries to convince you this is a good car and you like it and the price is right. And you're like, hey, man, what's the Carfax say? And he's like, nah, bro, we don't do that. I don't know why he would talk like that, but let's say he does. It's fine. So here's what you do. You take the VIN and you call Frontier. You say, hey, can you guys run me a Carfax? I'm like, sure, no problem. And they will. And now a Carfax will not tell you everything necessarily. It kind of depends on the reporting system. I have a very, very long story I could tell you about why Carfax is not the end-all be-all. I still recommend a good used car inspection by a mechanic you trust. But okay, it's a start. Okay, it's a start. So they will give you the Carfax for free, no problem, no questions asked. And then if you want to use that to buy the car from Jimmy, I mean, great. You say, why would they provide you with an assistance in buying a car from Jimmy on the corner lot? Because they can, because it's helpful, because it may help you avoid making a catastrophic mistake. That's it. They just want to be of help. So when I say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo and Beverly Parkway, I mean that. 719 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. We had some texts came in on this question of natural-born citizenship for office in Alabama, a proposal. I will also tell you, I think this strikes me as super grandstandy. Like, this is a headline clickbait stuff. Like, I don't think this is actually going to pass. I mean, it may. I don't know. Maybe he taps into something that his base knows that I don't know. But I don't think this is going to get anywhere. I think this is headlines. This is, you know, bolstering my commitment to anti-immigrant status. This is I'm the rightest of the righties when it comes to Republicans. Somebody says Dearborn, Michigan is a good example of what they may be concerned with. Yeah, fair. Okay. But in Dearborn, where it's heavily Muslim, okay, a lot of refugees live in Dearborn, and they've elected a very Muslim city council, Dearborn, Michigan. It's real close to where I grew up. My grandfather actually, you know, the house he lived in was in Dearborn. So I know this issue and the area pretty well. Okay, local control. If you got an area that's a bunch of Muslims and they want to vote in a Muslim city council and they're all naturalized citizens, and that's democracy. I mean, as long as they're not violating the Constitution, as long as they're not imposing Sharia law, I mean, that's literally what democracy means. They've created an enclave. Okay, let them self-rule. I don't want to live there. but that's the thing. If you don't like it, don't live there. Move somewhere else, or don't move there in the first place. Let's see. Somebody says Mamdani is an out socialist with an anti-American dogma that was no doubt influenced by how he was raised. Okay. And though it pains me to say it, if you cannot persuade the voters of New York City that he is an out socialist with an anti-American dogma that was no doubt influenced by how he was raised, that's their problem, not yours. They're the voters, not you. And by the way, this may come as a shock. I have met people who were born in this country who are out socialists with anti-American dogmas. You know, we have a couple in the Senate. Being native-born doesn't solve the problem. Preventing foreign-borns doesn't accomplish the good goal. And though it's, I don't know, maybe awkward to admit the fact, the opinion. Okay, opinion. If you give me a handful of random naturalized Americans, let's say a city council. I won't pick on any particular city, but let's just say we got a city council and you offer me, you don't know anything else about these people. Nothing else about them. But this group over here is natural-born Americans, and this group over here is naturalized Americans. Which one do you want for your city council? I will tell you, though this may be surprising, I would bet on the non-natives because they are motivated, they're committed, they love this country. You've never met a naturalized citizen that hates this country. They love this country. Maybe you've met one. Generally speaking, they're the most patriotic, hardworking. I mean, it's like you should go to a naturalization ceremony and talk to some people. I have met an awful lot of native-born Americans that I would never want anywhere near the levers of power. Plus, just the knowledge issue. And again, I'm talking about random, average, you know, this is all you know. Some are naturalized, some are not. They don't know anything. They don't know anything about this country. They don't know about government. They don't know the Constitution. At least you have to know some stuff to earn your naturalization. So again, if that's all I know, I'd rather bet on the non-native borns, personally. I have a whole range of, you know, thoughts like this about who would make good and who would not make good. I like business owners for executives. I mean, like, not executives, but like for the executive branch, you know, mayors and governors and presidents. I like business owners for that because that's a relevant expertise. I do not like people coming out of the House and the Senate to go become presidents and governors and stuff because, it's just not relevant experience. You know the state and you know governance of a sort, but your governance is not leading a big team of people and organizing logistics and HR and all this. Like, it's just different. Business owners make sense to me. I'm not going to say you can't be, but, again, who do you bet on? I would bet on the non-native born to be pro-America, knowledgeable about America, you know, passionate, motivated, all that stuff. But feel free to disagree with me. 724 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you looking for something fun to do this fall? Well, you're invited to our church's Fall Festival. Northstone Baptist Church will provide games and activities for people of all ages. Everyone is welcome to enjoy the hay rides, dunk tank, food trucks, bounce houses, door prize giveaways, and much more. So mark your calendars for Saturday, November 8th from 5 to 8 p.m. We want you to be our guest at Northstone. This fall festival will be located on our church's beautiful 11-acre property in Northwest Pensacola. Our church address is 2550 West 9 Mile Road, so plan to join us this November 8th. For more information about our fall festival, visit our church's website, www.northstonebaptist.org, or check out our church's Facebook page. We do hope to see you Saturday evening, November 8th, for family fun at the Northstone Fall Festival.
Thinking of refreshing your home for the holidays? Good news! Jonathan's Flooring can help. Now through the end of November, Jonathan's is offering a special deal. They'll paint any interior room, walls, and trim up to 12 by 12 feet for only $299, including paint. Select from a large variety of colors, and rest assured, Jonathan's delivers first-class workmanship. To set your home's refresh appointment, stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, just south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
It's all psychological. You yell Barracuda. Everybody says, huh? What? You yell Shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
All veils and misty. Streets are blue.
Good morning, 727 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. I don't know what that accent was. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Okay, if you are on Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile, expect about a 9 to 11 minute delay. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola southbound, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. And I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, we're dealing with our typical construction congestion delays.
Typical.
It's typical for this time. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Whenever anybody uses the word typical, my brain immediately goes to the Thanksgiving episode of Friends where Brad Pitt and Rachel, you know, Ross and Jennifer Aniston, where, you know, he says typical about her. It's the best line probably in that whole all right, I'll just move on. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. He's very not typical.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. There is no clear sign as to when the government shutdown may end, but food assistance payments could be coming back soon. Two federal judges did rule that the Trump administration will need to make partial SNAP payments and can use discretionary money to do so. In the meantime, the shutdown continuing to take a toll on air travel, as air traffic controllers have reportedly been, calling into work sick as they're still going without pay. Tylenol maker Kenvue is being sold in a deal worth billions of dollars. Kimberly-Clark announcing a cash and stock deal valued at $48.7 billion to buy Kenvue. The deal would bring brands like Huggies and Kleenex under the same roof as Tylenol and Band-Aid. The deal is expected to be finalized in half of next year. And Los Angeles preparing to honor the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers after they beat the Blue Jays Saturday. LA celebrating its second World Series win in a row, and there's a victory parade happening there this afternoon.
Great games. It was a great World Series. I hate the outcome, but it was a great World Series. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, where did I put it?
Oh, you know what? Can we please keep the chicken and the turkey and everything on the other side of the table? The smell is just ugh.
Typical.
I'm sorry, what?
I said it was typical. Typical of you. Rachel Green, Queen Rachel, does whatever she wants in a little Rachel land.
Such a great episode. Oh, typical. Hey, if you are thinking about getting a new roof, Quality Roofing Solutions has got you covered. Unintentional. Brian Ward started this company back in, in 2006, 19 years in, they've put in 10,000 roofs. They've got a 4.9 rating on Google. That is so good. Like, you just don't see that. 4.9. Anyway, they sponsor all kinds of local, charities, our Gateway, local youth sports, financial literacy education. Santa Rosa County was something they were doing for a while. Anyway, they will talk to you like a person. They will help you figure out whether it makes sense to repair or to replace, how a new roof might change your insurance, how it might save you money over time if you do a wind mitigation inspection. They'll create a very comprehensive documentary record with photos before, during, and after of what you've had done. And they just know how to deal with it. They do all the right things, and they talk to you like a person. 777-0961 for QualityRoofingSolutions.com.
News. I'm CJ Papa. President Trump putting Nigeria on notice.
They're killing record numbers of Christians in Nigeria, that part of the world. Very mad. They're killing the Christians. They're killing them in very large numbers. We're not going to allow that to happen.
President Trump on board Air Force One. Rapper Nicki Minaj back in the present, saying she feels a deep sense of gratitude for his defense of Christians.
Kudos and thanks to someone like Nicki Minaj as a Christian, but as someone with the following that she has, and with a lot of followers who may not be paying attention to these kinds of issues, to kind of double down.
U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Michael Walls, earlier in Fox and Friends. The shutdown reaches 34 days, no end in sight to the impasse. The Senate back in session today, but any vote to reopen the federal government wouldn't take place till later this evening. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's a beautiful morning. We've got 48 degrees right now with sunshine this morning. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Police in Foley are investigating a shooting that they say happened on South Juniper Street. Officers say they found a victim with a gunshot wound yesterday. They arrived at that scene Sunday morning. Three suspects were identified and detained. Police are asking anybody with information to contact them. Currently no word on the condition of that victim. And Escambia County Church has paid off medical debt for several people, thousands of people here in Escambia County. Transformation Church in Pensacola announcing yesterday they paid the medical bills of over 4,000 people at a $6.5 million cost. Lead pastor Brad Livingston says he wants that the church to be known for generosity, compassion, and impact. A 20-year-old Pensacola man is dead after a crash on I-10. It happened Saturday morning near mile marker 14. Officials say they're investigating what caused the accident. FHP said the driver ran off the side of the interstate and crashed into a sound barrier wall. According to the report, he was wearing a seatbelt. He was pronounced dead at the scene. FHP still investigating. Also a crash under investigation in Baldwin County. A Bay Minette man died in that accident. Happened on County Road, Baldwin County Road 138. Officials say 41-year-old Scott Garrett McKee was driving a Volkswagen that crashed into two other vehicles, a Nissan and then a Chevrolet pickup truck. McKee was not wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash. He died at that scene. Well, Milton's first female police chief hosted a class over the weekend to teach women self-defense. Milton Police Chief Jennifer Frank. She hosted that class on Saturday, said it was an opportunity for women to show they've got power, strength, courage, and a voice to be able to combat instances where they're put in a situation they are uncomfortable with. A man's dead after an officer-involved shooting in Hillsborough County. Happened at a home in Brandon yesterday. The sheriff's office said Mario Camacho had a knife and was barricaded in a room with a 7-year-old, his brother. Deputies kicked in the door when they heard the child screaming. They said Camacho refused to drop the knife and was shot. The 27-year-old was taken to a hospital where he died. The child was not hurt in the incident. A wrong-way driver suspected in a deadly crash in Miami-Dade. Two cars crashed yesterday morning on the Florida Turnpike. FHP says a third car also wound up hitting two other cars and an FHP car. The drivers of the first two cars died at the scene. It is 7:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures around 67 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 47. Going into Tuesday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 73. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 56. For your Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, high near 77. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 49 degrees sunshine here in Pennsylvania. Cola. 7:35 now. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 starting to see about 11 to 12 minute delay just in that area, and also Highway 29 southbound heading toward 9 Mile and also past 9 Mile going southbound, experiencing about a 12 to 15 minute delay, and Highway 90 southbound heading into Pensacola, expect about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much, John. 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has warned that flights across the country could be delayed or even canceled due to the ongoing government shutdown as staffing shortages at air traffic control facilities spread nationwide. According to the FAA, nearly 50% of all major air traffic control facilities are facing staffing shortages. Pittsburgh-based Aurora Innovation is accelerating the rollout of its driverless trucks as it looks to evolve from a promising experiment to a profitable enterprise. A new route that was launched last week, the company Skint runs from Fort Worth to El Paso in Texas. Baidu's Apollo Go robo-taxi unit said fully driverless weekly rides as of October 31st has now surpassed 250,000 orders. Alphabet's Waymo reported the same number of paid weekly robo-taxi rides in the U.S. back in April. Futures are currently gained 40, the NASDAQ up 143, the S&P 500.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Think all art festivals are the same? Think Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola isn't your scene? Think you've heard all the music before or that local theater is predictable? Well, foo around and find out. If you think you're not up for random adventures, can't be surprised anymore, or don't believe you can make memories around every corner, foo around and find out. At Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola, Florida, October 30th through November 10th, 2025. Visit foofoofest.com to learn more.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpy Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Good morning, 7:39 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Our Congressman Jimmy Patronis, Florida District 1, Northwest Florida District 1, is on the line with us. Hey, Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you guys going? You're going back to D.C. later today, but you're still in district this morning.
Correct.
What are you up to?
Truthfully?
Yeah.
I am staring at my computer screen, watching it count down 15 minutes and 38 seconds because I'm doing modules for driving school for the speeding ticket I got from Gulf Breeze Police Department last week.
No.
I'm always going to shoot straight with you. Yeah, you know. And
how fast were you going?
I know he's doing his job. I'm doing six over. So
what? You got a ticket for six over? Well, I guess it's Gulf Breeze, man. You know, in GB, not FHP, but Gulf Breeze Police.
Yeah, and you know, now you got me on a soapbox. When I was in the legislature and when I was on the cabinet, I always said, you know what, we need to pass a policy that if law enforcement's going to get in the business of writing traffic citations, they've got to be clear and visible. Because if they're clear and visible, my sheriff taught me this years ago, you're affecting thousands of motorists every single day.
Right.
But when you hide out of this line of sight, it's like snipers. You know, I mean, you're taking out one at a time. What good are you doing by just ruining one person's day? Why don't you go and change the whole culture through that corridor and be visible? So anyway, you know, I've always said if you know, I was back in the legislature, I was going to change the law saying if you're going to write a citation, you got to be clearly marked and visible in order to write the citation.
No, I could not agree with you more. And partially because of the presence issue, the visibility issue creates a perception, and that perception winds up affecting people's behavior over time. I had when I used to be a terrible speeder as a kid, and now I'm just a mostly terrible speeder. But when I was a terrible speeder as a kid, I always thought that the hiding cop was particularly stupid, because my theory was this: if I'm a good aware driver, then I'm adapting to information. And if I know enough to slow down when I see a cop is up ahead, that means I'm an attentive driver. What you don't want to catch
100%.
Is the, you don't want to catch the guy who slows down when he sees a cop, because that's like slowing down to see a slow car or a wreck or whatever. What you want to catch is the person who's oblivious to what's going on around them, the person who speeds right past the marked cop. That's the one you want to give a ticket to. So you're actually catching the least dangerous speeders when you're catching the one secretly, like you said, hiding out ones, the snipers.
So, Dad, when I used to ride home with Dad from work, he always used to listen to Paul Harvey in the afternoon, afternoon, the evening. And I'll never forget I must have been 10 years old. And he says, the best way to make everybody perfect drivers is make sure there's a cop in every rearview mirror. You know, I mean, and this is no different. You know, you want to change how people respect the road. If you're going to take the time to do traffic, be visible. Just be visible. You know what? Let's change everybody. It tamps down the road rage.
Yep.
It tamps down all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually just amazed that they got you for six over. Like, I know that's the law. Like, in Florida, you can be five over legally, but I'm just amazed that, you know, they sniped you at six. That's that's pretty ferocious. Wow. All right. Moving on to other things. I wanted to give you briefly an opportunity to talk about. I know you were passionate about keeping the air show. Of course, the base wound up announcing on Friday that the air show is canceled for the homecoming air show. First time I can remember a homecoming show getting canceled. We did move the one to the beach during COVID and post-terrorism. It was kind of a both, really. Any thoughts on this? Or are we anywhere? I know you previously said it's going to be after tomorrow that we start to see some movement. Is that still what you think?
That's what I think. It seems like there's, you know, gossiping chatter amongst the offices that you know, the Senate is ready to come around. Look, they could not put any type of wet blanket over Democratic voter enthusiasm in the markets of Virginia, New York, and New Jersey. Simple as that. Nobody pays attention to elections, but if you go and you create a political spike in interest, it's like a government shutdown, and you combine that with those three states where potentially Democrats, which I think they probably will win the top ticket. It is what it is, you know.
You know,
it sucks. It's gross, but yeah. This is selfish in their practices.
You know, it's also going to be interesting to see how Trump reacts to the judicial, you know, what they told him to do on Friday, and now there's been some back and forth on when this is going to happen. Of course, you know, people, I tremendous sympathy for the people who are on SNAP or anything else that are not getting a paycheck. But I do think it's also a fair question to ask, but why do we have so many people on SNAP? You know, I mean, that's also a fair question to ask.
Well, here's the reality, you know. I really wish we had a bigger majority to do some of the things we need to do. We have to do things incrementally.
Yeah.
But with this shutdown, you know what? I've told people it's time to do a big postmortem. What elements of government has nobody even noticed were not functional?
Yeah.
You know, unless they start really reevaluating the need of whatever's been created for whatever reason at whatever chapter in our history, and just go revisit and see if this isn't already being done by the states or local government instead, you know, and just shut some buildings down.
Yeah, we're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman for Florida District 1. Hang on for just a second. Jimmy John has got John Pickens has traffic on the fives. No subs.
That's right. Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 miles, seeing about a 9 to 11 minute delay. And Highway 90 southbound as you approach Pensacola, expect about a 12 to 15 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman. Jimmy, you know, I know you and I've talked a little bit about this before, an effort to put an amendment in the Constitution to, you know, not pay members of the government while there's a shutdown. Somebody, I don't think this would happen, but I bet you get people to vote for it. I really would love to see a 28th Amendment come around next time, next election. But here's the version of this that somebody proposed to me. Make it so that anybody in government, when the government shuts down, even for a day, is ineligible for re-election the next election.
You probably would have difficulty getting that passed because of freedom of speech, unless it you know, it automatically makes it a disqualifier of some sort. But I'm fine with that. But like I said, Ralph Norman's got the constitutional amendment bill. I think like 30 states have already ratified it, but I've signed on to it. Rick Scott's got it in the Senate. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not taking a paycheck. And as long as this government is shut down, I feel like we're not doing our job. Why should we be paid?
Right.
Now, I did a Grok search earlier this week to see how many others are doing. Nobody else is. I mean, there's literally like 10 other people in Congress that are foregoing their paycheck. But I still think it's – look, you know this. When I was at the restaurant business, only reason I got paid is because I showed up to work. If I wasn't at the restaurant, I didn't get paid. What's the difference?
Core principle, if you don't suffer the consequences of the bad decisions, you make worse decisions. You know, that's just a core principle.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And to get back, you know, you asked about the Blue Angels. The one problem that's going to happen that bothers me is a number of these talented members of the Blue Angels team, they're going to miss their last show playing for the hometown crowd.
Yeah.
So that's another one of the more sensitive, you know, frustrations that I've got that, you know, they call Pensacola their home, and they take care of their families while these men and women are performing all over the United States. And, you know, and here, this is a special show for them too. And it's not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I, half of the pilots transition off the team every year, and, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
I wanted to switch gears just a little bit. Because you are on two committees, and you and I have not talked an awful lot about your work on these committees. Transportation infrastructure and small business is the other one. And on the small business one, a story that's really gotten just like occasionally mentioned and talked about is the elimination of the penny. And what are you hearing? What are you seeing? How are businesses adapting to this? Is it a big deal for folks? Are they adapting easily, rounding up, rounding down? What, I mean, just you tell me, you're on this committee. What are you seeing?
I've always been okay with the idea and the concept of getting rid of the penny. You know, it costs more to make a penny than it's worth. You know, and you look at it as we're moving more and more to electronic forms of payment, then, you know, I'm sure we're minting fewer pennies today than we did 30 years ago. But, you know, again, I haven't heard a whole lot about it.
Okay.
It makes sense, but I think over like a 10-year span, you know, you save like, you know, $6 million. It's in the scheme of things, it's not a big number, but still the old adage, if you take care of the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves.
Yeah.
This is no, you know, if you start saving everywhere you can, I think we're better off as a fiduciary for our country.
Find a nickel, pick it up. We'll be all nickel wise. I mean, you're going to have to change all of your sayings in the English language, right? If we don't have pennies. Hey,
funny you say about small business. So, the chairman of small business is Roger Williams, a former professional baseball player. Fun fact, Roger Williams is a member of Congress from Texas, and his godson is John Fay, who's running for the state House of Representatives.
Okay. Former Blue Angel himself, right? Former XO, yeah.
The Blue Angels. Yeah. Small world.
One of the bills that you have proposed is the Warrior Road Act. What does this do?
Yep. Again, trying to put more guardrails and priorities on dollars when the feds send money to the states, that we've got to put a higher priority on roads and infrastructure that lead into our military installations that also complement evacuation routes. So that's just, we're just putting more strings attached that if you're going to take federal money, states, you're going to have to make sure that our military are the priority when those dollars come in, if these are in your works program.
Okay, so this is like, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, Navy Boulevard, Gulf Beach Highway, Blue Angel, although those are doing okay right now. But, you know, in like the stuff around Hurlburt, 98, like that would be the closest impact in our area, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
You know, and look, we also got to roll up our sleeves and work with the different branches of the military, because some of these, because of the heightened amount of security now that is going in and out of our bases, you know, it creates more of a thorough security checkpoint every time you go in. Well, this backs up traffic. So,
yeah.
So we're going to have to get relief from all sides. We want to take care of our men and women in uniform, but sometimes our installations are going to have to be more flexible with the real estate when we're willing to make those investments to help get their folks in safely.
The FAA, with the air traffic controller being affected by the shutdown, and they're working without pay, but they'll get paid later, assuming that'll all happen. But by law,
they have to.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out is there really a shortage? Is it really a problem? We're seeing airports have impacts. Is it because people are calling off sick when they just don't want to work? Like, you tell me. This is transportation infrastructure is your committee. You tell me what's going on.
It's all the above. You do have air traffic controllers calling in sick. You know, it's already been a stressful enough issue as we have a difficulty creating a robust pipeline of people that want to plan that occupation. Oh, by the way, we have 40-year-old architecture that they're working with. Still working with paper strips. At the same time,
wait, is that true? Are they still pushing paper strips around some of these control towers?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And with the One Big Beautiful Bill, we put $15 billion in there for improvement air traffic control technology, and all those dollars are basically in paralysis because of the government shutdown.
Wow. Wow. I just figured that was certainly not true anymore. But I guess if we're using, you know, 1960s and 70s era technology in our missile silos, I suppose we could be using the same in our air traffic control towers. I mean, my God, that's just, wow. Okay, all right, you messed up my whole day. Now I got to think about that.
Yep.
Okay, so I want to switch gears one last time before we let you go, because I know you care about these things. Who's going to replace Hugh Freeze at Auburn? It's gonna be Nick Saban.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Which it's crazy. It's crazy that they let him go. I mean, what's interesting? Have you noticed how many coaches we have had fired this year already?
Yeah.
I don't remember this many heads rolling this quickly into a season. And you know, I'm sure some of this has got to be triggered from these boosters raising ridiculous amounts of money for NIL. paying these huge contracts. And you got Sexton, who marries every contract of every coach that he represents, so they complement each other. So when you fire one, you know, the whole entire, you know, team and their children and their grandchildren all get some type of financial benefit from the university. I mean, it's just, it's all twisted. I mean, we need a reset to how college football is going, but it seems like right now it's like free will. You know, if the college trustees are willing to sign off on this ridiculous contract, you know, it's on them. But at the end of the day, there's still taxpayer dollars going to that university that affords them to do this. So.
Yeah, so it is. You're right. It's a weird situation having so many so-called free agents out there. You know, people who lost their jobs, and now there's a lot of sort of talent available. Anyway, Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for District 1 in Northwest Florida. By the way, I've been loving that Derek Ham interview podcast you did with News Service Florida. Very interesting stuff. I've been talking about that this morning as well, sir. We'll talk to you again next Monday. Thank you for the time. Enjoy the rest of your speeding remediation class and your trip up to DC this morning. I appreciate it.
It just hits 59 seconds left that I'm required to stay in this section. You know, thank you, Gulf Breeze.
Yeah, you got to spend it with me. Happy day. Jimmy, thanks for the time. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but I-10 eastbound, seeing that delay between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Also, Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road, experiencing about a 9 to 11 minute delay. And 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze, they expect about 11 to 15 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive. Quality you can afford.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSIA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Fufu Festival, Atlas Beverage Class featuring Grayton Brewing Company, the World is Your Oyster Collaboration Dinner, Thanksgiving, and so much more. Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do it!
Ready?
Do it!
Give me the bat.
Do it!
Give me the bat.
Good morning, 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Andrew, for a text came in. Andrew, for somebody who claims to have been a logic professor, you sure do violate your own principles. You said that you could not name a naturalized immigrant that hates his country. What about the squad? All right, you got me. As soon as I said never, I knew I was. I had to revise that. So, yeah, no, it's fine. I misspoke. I was wrong. No problem. 7:58, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Election day, 24 hours away, with voters in a number of states set to decide several key races that could serve as a gauge of how Americans are feeling about President Trump's second term. Big one in New York City is Democrat frontrunner Zohran Mamdani is hoping to win the mayor's office over their former governor, Andrew Cuomo. some other races as well in New Jersey and Virginia. Viewership numbers for Game 7 of the World Series show the game had baseball's largest audience in nearly a decade. Over 26 million people tuned in to see the Los Angeles Dodgers win their second straight championship Saturday. That's at least according to preliminary Nielsen ratings. They say it's the most watched World Series game since Game 7 of the 2017 series drew over 28 million fans.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Kirk bounces one up the middle. Bats to the back. Over to first to beat the champ. You gotta knock him out. The Dodgers stand tall and win back-to-back titles.
But it was a great game. It really was. It was a great game. Alejandro Kirk hitting into the double play with Vladdy Guerrero on third base, and they just couldn't get it done.
Local news every